Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Well, hello everyone from the rather snow-covered animal compound in Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson, the animal guy, and this is Wild World on this magical network we call Blog Talk Radio, which reaches around the world. Hello to our listeners from, New England and England and Ireland, across North America, behind the controls of this radio missile, our studio producer. As always, from the fine state of Virginia, Billy Willard, and of course joining us each week, and we're so glad, our teacher of the year, Amy Swihart.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. And the absence of tonight of Dr. Henry Day, but we've got the Wild World News. Oh, I know it, but we've got it all covered, so we're well under control. We want to remind everyone that this part of the program is brought to you by ChautauquaLakeBigfoot.com. It's a fantastic video, over 6 hours long. They can be downloaded for a small fee of, hold on to your hats, everybody. Make sure you're sitting down, $4.99. Go to ChautauquaLakeBigfoot.com. 6 hours of speakers such as the infamous Billy Willard, Steve Call, Melissa Hovey, Bob Gimlin. I lost my train of thought for a moment. And yours truly, as we talk about the phenomenon known as Bigfoot or Sasquatch, from the fine state of New York, and it's available online, video on demand, for just $4.99. Here's the website, ChautauquaLakeBigfoot.com. Let me spell Chautauqua for you. Sharpen your pencils, Chautauqua, LakeBigfoot.com. They make it possible for Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio.
It's now time, from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
This is the Wild World News for the day of December the 5th, 2013. Dr. Day is out of commission tonight. He'll be back next week as we have an Izzy Christmas here on Wild World. We're joined that. Izzy Chait will be with us.
I'm excited about that. Sorry.
Well, that's fine. We should be excited. What an artist he is. But he's going to be with us, and we're going to listen to lots of Christmas music with Izzy Chait. He's a fantastic CD out, Holiday Nights, I believe is the title of it. Ms. Swihart would know for sure.
Yes, it is, and I got one in the mail.
I know.
I was so excited, and so, of course, I've been listening to it.
I haven't
can sing just like him, too.
I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet.
Okay, well, you're going to Alabama, aren't you, like, tomorrow?
That's
a long
right.
Trip. You pop that CD in there, and you listen and listen and listen and listen. How about that?
Well, that'd be okay if the animal transport truck had a CD player in it.
Okay, well, then you do the next best thing, because I had to do this in my 1985 Dodge Charger once. When my radio went out, I had to put a little boombox thing, you know, with batteries in it, in between the two front seats. And that's how I played my music. You could try that.
Well, we've done that before. That's worked before.
Well, there's no excuse. You've got to do it.
I know. Well, I'll listen to it between now and the time, Izzy. Well, maybe I'll just wait till that night, and then I could be totally impressed by the musicianship of Izzy Chait from Beverly Hills, California.
And I'll sing to you. I'll sing it to you. I'll just sing you the whole CD.
Well, there we go.
And that'll ruin it for you.
A cappella, Amy Swihart.
Yeah, that's bad. Have you seen my Facebook page? Oh, my gosh. I sang some this week. Billy, did you listen to it?
I did.
Did you listen to my video?
Yes,
wasn't
I did.
Wasn't it disgusting?
you gave it the best shot.
Oh, thanks, Billy. You know what, Billy? I would so totally kick your butt right now, except I can't because you're too far out of reach. Oh, okay. I know I might have butchered the Lady Gaga because, you know, I'm not Lady Gaga. But I certainly did not butcher the first grade song. Seriously.
Oh, I'm sure you didn't. I've had many a phone call that from the first grade class of Mrs.
That's
Swihart.
Right. Yeah.
For my birthday and Thanksgiving, and it's always entertaining. In fact, Vegas with Randolph is waiting for you to do a video with your class for their Snow Days tune.
I know. They need to come. They need to come here and help me with that.
Well, Vegas and Randolph have regular jobs too, so that's not possible.
I know.
Oh gosh. Hey, this week we were at Southern Wells Elementary in the community, the suburb of Ponito, Indiana, which is in northern Indiana, not too far from the town of Huntington, which tells people out of the state of Indiana nothing, to do one of our very special book presentations. And part of the presentation is I illustrate in front of the children, and we create our own cover or title page, and God bless the little kindergartners who were enjoying the presentation, and it was about Baxter the Educator, and of course I was lettering across the top of this huge sheet of paper, Baxter, and of course I try to make the whole program into a lesson. So I'm asking them to help me spell Baxter as I illustrate in front of them, and I do the B, I do the A, I do the X, and I say to the kindergartners, what comes after X now?
Why? Did they say why?
They did say why.
You see, I know exactly how they think. That's why I do so well with them.
And all the teachers were just rolling. I mean, they thought that was the funniest thing. And they said, they take it very literally. I says, I know.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's right. And that is the same school that 3 weeks ago, we didn't reveal this during the Wild World News, Elizabeth, our baboon, was sitting on my shoulder and decided to take a leap off. The only problem was is she kept a hold of my hair.
and she yanked out a
lock of hair about, well, it's completely changed my hairline in the front. And what was very humorous after the program is the bald gym teacher comes up with it and says, would you like this back? I looked at him. I said, well, you can borrow it if you want.
But, you know, that had to hurt. I mean,
oh, it does.
I don't know.
It makes
I can't even pluck one hair. I can do a lot of things, but I cannot. I do not have the guts to pluck a hair. I just don't like it. So if I had to and you had to be, like, brave. You couldn't cry or anything.
Well, I've got a pretty tough
You couldn't say any four-letter words.
No, and we had a docker, Celebes Black Ape. He used to climb on my shoulders and grab a hunk of hair on each side and just shake my head, you know, violently. And, God, people, they'd laugh so hard they'd be crying. And they said, doesn't that hurt? I said, well, I... At the time, I'm not really thinking about that.
All in the name of entertainment.
Well, we like to call it edutainment, and you're right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
We suffer in a lot of ways just to, you know, entertain and educate.
Well, you do. And, you know, the kids are so important. People ask me, why do you do what you do, taking animals to schools and having to go to places like Alabama with a major snowstorm? I said, it's all because of the children.
Yeah.
And it is. I mean, there's something.
You know, I mean, I honestly go practically all day long without taking a leak. You know why? Because if I stop to take a leak, all of those kids are not getting an education. So I hold it all day until they leave, and then I about wet my pants. See what I do for those kids? It's the little thing.
Well, I have to say there's a couple times I've done programs that I didn't make a trip to the men's room, and about halfway through, I said, God, I wish I had.
Yeah.
Wish we could take a break right here. But
I always have the old gray mare ain't what she used to be. You know that song, don't you? That's my theme song.
Yeah,
the old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be, ain't what she used to be. Yeah, you know it. I'm not singing anymore because Billy will make fun of me. Jeez, Billy. Billy, you have crushed me. I need to get that off of Facebook right away. But a whole bunch of people have already seen it. They've puked in their trash can already, and here I was like, it isn't that bad.
I probably would have threw up a little in my mouth as well. So
gross.
Fun here at the animal compound this week. We were inspected by the United States Department of Agriculture. Government money well used, as our inspector shows up four times a year, because now we have a primate in our program. And because we have a primate, because of that silly woman that had a chimpanzee up in Connecticut and literally had her face ripped off. Now any USDA licensed facilities is inspected four times a year. So God love that little baboon, but once again, no problems. We got a perfect score, so we were absolutely thrilled and delighted, because we have to keep the United States Department of Agriculture happy, and they're happy with us once again. Also, big news here, Cheryl has bruised knees because we were on top of the tiger cage fixing it.
Did you say bruised knees?
I absolutely did.
Oh, dear. Okay.
She was in quite a bit of pain. See, the thing is we put her up on the roof because I have a terrible thing with heights. And plus, the weight is not – if I get up on the roof, it would be like throwing a couple free sacks of potatoes up there. Her, it's just nothing. So we had to do some repair work to keep the United States Department of Agriculture happy, and they were happy. So we like to keep them happy, 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 but that was quite exciting. And also, I have to tell everyone at Eden Elementary School in Greenfield, Indiana, great fun there. Someone decided to leave one of those extra-large Washington apples in reach of the baboon as it's coming out to appear in front of the children. It grabs this huge apple. You know the ones I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're huge, massive. And the baboon, I'm looking at, what does that baboon have? And I realized it was a huge apple. And she was afraid that Cheryl, my wife, was going to take it away from her, so she was caressing it very tightly as she sat on my shoulders. Then she decided to eat the apple. The only problem with that is she didn't like the peeling. So I was literally getting apple peeling.
Typical kid.
Raining down over my shoulders and head as she's sitting on top. And, of course, the kids, they just thought that was just the greatest.
Yep.
And truly was, once again, a great moment that we did enjoy. And also, I have to tell everyone, I was in Billy, what kind of a piece of equipment? You're in the – you familiar with the construction trade.
Mm-hmm.
When they're pouring a concrete sidewalk, what's that tool called that they use to scrape across the concrete to make it nice and smooth and level?
Isn't that a grader?
Well – yeah, they call some people call it a screed.
A screed?
And then some people if you're talking about the hand tool, that's a concrete float.
Okay.
Oh, those make total sense.
Well, absolutely. Well, not only are they good at working with concrete, they're very good at scraping poop. So I was in the bear house. With my big, huge, large shovel. And as I've mentioned on this program before, and I hope everyone took notes, that a bear is the only animal that I've ever seen that would be eating and pooping at the same time. Well, except maybe my one brother. But,
I'm sure people do it all the time.
Oh, I'm
sure. People multitask about that stuff all the time, I think.
So it's an awesome tool. I've discovered it. It was given to us for a garage sale, and I looked at it and said, well, that looks like that'd be great at scraping poop. And it works fantastic with one of those big, huge shovels. So I was taking the shovel load to the wheelbarrow, and I'd left the tool in there. And it was the funniest thing because Cheryl, my wife, yells, Buck has your tool. And I'm looking in there, and sure enough, he did. And he's sitting there, and he's inspecting his tool as if he was going to use it. But so then I had to take the tool away from the male bear, which was
yeah.
Needless to say.
Oh, God.
He weighs, give you an idea, he weighs about 575 pounds. And when he stands up, he's a foot taller than I am. And I'm 6 foot, so he's a pretty good guy. So he didn't put up much of a fight for the tool, but it was a special moment, and I should have taken pictures.
Oh yeah, when you're doing that, just take pictures.
Should. I should keep a camera at my disposal at
right
all
there.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because yeah. You never know. You just never know. And then the other night, now here, this is big news for everybody. We have an African serval cat. Now, will you describe that cat? Do you remember it, Mrs. Swihart?
It had whiskers and a long tail. What? You're telling me to describe that cat. I'm doing just that. It was
actually,
nice and soft.
Actually, I just saw one of those.
Shades of brown.
Yeah.
What?
Saw one of those on TV the other night too on the Smithsonian Channel. Now, are they the ones that's got the black border around the ears, like a
mm-hmm.
like black?
They look like a little cheetah.
Yep.
Yeah.
They've got huge ears, long legs.
Yep.
So
I was going to say just that, but you interrupted me.
I am so sorry. My apologies. I'm going to apologize
for
everything I say tonight, even ahead of time. So I'm already sorry. I apologize.
Just as a man said.
So the African serval cat sleeps in our house. It has a special kennel that it sleeps in. But during the day, if it's not too bad of weather, because there's not a lot of fur on these guys, so if it's like below zero, that can't happen. We take her out to her outdoor facility, and she can run off and do whatever she wants to do. So the other night I was bringing her in by use of a lead, and basically she drags me back to the house, and all of a sudden she stopped, and she made a motion so fast it was absolutely phenomenal. I didn't even see it, but she caught a mouse that was in the yard.
Wow.
And then once she caught it, I mean, it was so quick. I mean, it was like, it was sobering. And so right away she wants to protect her kill. Now, Cheryl was the first one to actually handle this cat because when we got it, it was not handleable at all. And she'd have to put on gloves every time she worked with it. And now it's fantastic. So literally what I had to do is take it back to its outside enclosure and let it have its mouth and then go back and retrieve it later. But I'll tell you, that one moment of her having her kill, all of the wild instincts came right back. It was like instantaneously. It was pretty amazing. So
wow.
There is some truth that you can't take the wild out of a wild animal.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, that was pretty much what had happened. Also, I want to report to everyone, and I know you're sitting on your edge of your seats for this one. The gator, Silas, is still in the bathtub. And he's figured it all out, and he can tell when I bring in food to feed him and when I'm just in there doing necessities. Because when I bring food in to feed him, he hisses so loud and jumps through the air to retrieve the food that you better be quick and drop that food in his mouth or you'll be in big trouble.
So what do you do with him when you go to take a shower or a bath?
We have to capture the gator, and then we put him in his gator box for that time. Yeah.
Hmm. Well, I guess, you know, you only have to do that like once a week, right?
Mrs. Swihart's kind of a smart aleck tonight, I tell you.
You know what? It's because I am just, where's Dr. Day? I mean, totally, I'm just thrown out of sorts because Dr. Day is not around.
Oh, well, Dr. Day will really be out of sorts because I've had communication with Laura Cheadle, and she has a new album coming out.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
And she's going to be back in January to come on the show and premiere her new album exclusively on our show, her new blues album.
Wow.
And remember what she told Dr. Day the last time. We need to take it to the next level.
That's right. It's time. It's time.
So I believe it's in January. January the 12th, if I'm not mistaken. That's a Thursday night.
We'll see if Dr. Day can handle it.
I think his head might spontaneously combust. I mean, it might just explode. It's just not good. And here's the latest on
back out.
I'm sorry?
What if he might back out?
He might. His almost wife might have something to say about it too, so that could be interesting. Here's the latest at the Animal Compound. I haven't mentioned it on the show yet, but we have a crow here on our compound who apparently has injured itself, and it cannot fly that well. One wing appears to be broken. It can still float down the limbs. It can hop up trees. But I have my own bird feeder here at the compound, and it's called a wheelbarrow. And you leave a couple pieces of meat in that wheelbarrow, it's amazing the crows that it will attract.
Yeah.
So I have to report that the wounded crow is now going to the wheelbarrow for food. And we're both delighted about it. And it's one of the funniest things to see that crow pop his head out of that wheelbarrow and see if anybody's watching him. Like,
oh. Well,
and you know, the government has trained crows for espionage work. Were you aware of that?
No.
It's true. Crows' ability of being thieves, they've been able to steal things from such as microfilm. It's endless. But yes, crows have been trained by our government to do espionage work. It's amazing the intelligence of that bird. And I have to say the one we have is pretty darn smart. So, oh, and here's the latest from the blue and gold macaw world, or the macaw world, I should say. They're laying eggs as we speak, except the one that lays the egg is not motherly, and the other one that's in a different facility builds nest when the other bird lays eggs. Now, should we take the egg out of that one and put it in the other bird's enclosure? I'll take a vote on that.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I don't know much about those birds, so I'm going to say yes.
You think we should? Okay. Yep. We're going to try that. We haven't yet. I will tell you that this particular macaw wants to kill me right now because it is in such a parenting mood that it literally runs across its enclosure to attack me.
Wow.
Yeah, you know what? Chickens get like that too in the chicken world because we have chickens.
Yeah.
It's said that they are broody.
Broody?
So our chickens get broody, and they're pretty protective of the eggs, but kind of what cracks me up is after that chick is born, they don't even care. It's like, out comes the chick, and then no longer does the mother even care at all. She just, you know, way to go, Mom. I guess there's people
man.
Like that, too. But yeah, but so it's said to be broody.
Might try that because that bird certainly is broody and it does not like me at all right now. Though I did mention we did move our African tortoises into that particular building. And when the bird could see the tortoises, it was in a really good mood. But now we've moved them or it cannot no longer see them. And now it wants to attack me.
Oh.
And I have to tell you right now, for this worldwide audience, one of the most painful bites you can ever have is from one of them darn parrots.
Yeah.
They have the crushing power that they can crack open a Brazil nut. And that's as hard as a rock.
Yeah, I don't even mess with those nuts.
So you're,
well, they got the hooked bills too, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
So not only are they crushing your finger, they're leaving this large gaping wound. That is not good.
Yep.
Not good.
Yep. But you've been bit by several things. You have. You're like,
I have.
You know, I mean, you've got, I mean, okay, I have been bit too. I was bit when I was 4 years old. My face was attacked by a dog. So
oh.
I tell people, I always tell people, I say, you know what, I'm ugly, but I have an excuse. What's your excuse? But, you know, you've been bit by some crazy things, right?
Well, I have.
Tell, what have you been bit by? Tell them all.
All of them? That would be impossible.
All of them. All that you can remember.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Only do the ones that were that caused bloodshed.
That's still okay.
Well, as many
lions,
as you can think
tigers.
Of in just a few seconds, lions and tigers and bears. Oh my!
All three, absolutely. Badgers, ferrets, mink, pine
okay,
martens.
Okay, but did any send you to the hospital?
Oh yes, timber rattlesnake bite.
Let's think about the rattlesnake. Yes.
Yeah, the timber rattlesnake bite that happened in St. Louis when I was doing a program at the, gosh, I can't even remember them all because it's been, that was 1979. How old were you then, Mrs. Swihart?
Then I have to reveal my age. I was 10.
Oh, my
because
God.
Because I am a 69 baby.
So am I.
Oh.
So am I.
Yeah, they wrote a song for me, by the way, Summer of 69.
Yeah, no,
that,
79.
That scene. No, I know, but I'm telling you that's how you can remember when I was born.
Oh, yeah, you're
born. I
was born
in the summer of 69, and there's
a
song that was written just for me. Yes.
God, I was just,
anyway.
I was a junior in high school. My God.
Well, geez, and I was, I was in the fourth grade, I think. So, yeah, I was in the fourth grade with Mrs. Hartman while you were off in St. Louis being bitten by a rattlesnake.
Well, that's true, and my wife, when we were first seeing each other, she asked me, she says, what is it like being bitten by a rattlesnake? And I would say, what does it feel like? I said, I like the baths. She kept going, what? The baths. She says, explain. I said, well, they had me in intensive care. They had IVs in one arm, and the other arm was where the rattlesnake bite occurred, and they had that suspended, so the venom would not disperse through my entire body. My arm was swollen 10 inches larger at the elbow. It turned entirely black. And every day, the nurse would come in to go, Mr. Batson, can you bathe yourself today? And I'd go, nope.
Cannot. I know where this is going. Yeah. Lovely.
I said, I can't.
Let me guess.
She
was like
myself 20 today.
Years old and hot.
It's not going to happen. I'm so sorry.
God.
Then I had one of the nurses, while she's doing her duty, she was telling me about her fiancé.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was, you know, I was, that's just like when I was, for that same time, I'm sure there's still memories of when I was there, but they had me in intensive care, and I said, where's my television? And they said, well, Mr. Batson, sir, we don't have televisions in intensive care. That's just, you know, we just don't do that. You're in intensive care. And I said, well, I want to see some dancers then.
Oh,
So guess what I had in intensive care? a really nice television.
Yeah. Times have changed, you know. Now there you have them.
First time ever they'd had a television in intensive care.
They just wanted to shut you up. Jeez, you're begging for the nurse to give you a bath, and you're wanting dances. I was just, get a TV. I don't care. The nurses all probably chipped in and bought it just to shut you up.
Well, I would have settled for dancing. I mean, but, yeah, it was absolutely phenomenal. It was. I'll tell you what it feels like. Man, you know when, like, your leg falls asleep and then the blood starts to flow? It sounds like, feels like a million needles poking in your skin.
Mm-hmm.
And the circulation returns.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. 24 yeah. hours a day for about 7 days.
Oh.
And then, now this is the fun part. They give you the shot of antivenin, which is to counteract the venom. First thing they have to do is to find out if you're allergic to the antivenin. And I wasn't. So they gave me a dose of antivenin, and they give that to you in your, how can I put this, buttocks. In your rear.
Yeah.
I was trying
we
to.
We call it the caboose in first grade. The caboose.
Okay. They give me a shot in the caboose. And that's like getting hit in the butt with a sledgehammer.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, because we all know what that feels like.
Everybody should know what that.
Yeah, everybody knows what that feels like.
And you cannot get comfortable, I mean. So then I come to find out, now this is what's really enjoyable about my whole experience being bitten by a rattlesnake. For those scientists listening, the species was Crotalus hortus, is they gave me enough for an elephant.
Wow.
So as soon as I get out of the hospital, I was in the hospital for a total of 6 days, my entire body 100% broke out in hives.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So here's what happens. I'm in total distress, so I was with a couple other guys there that were helping me. And all the way back from St. Louis, because I couldn't get comfortable in the front of the pickup with two other men, I had to sleep in the back of the pickup with an African pygmy goat for 5 hours after going through the world of being bitten by North American pit viper.
Hey, you know what? Job hazard. The risk.
It is the risk, you know. But I haven't had that happen. Well, I did get venom in my eye last summer. I forgot about that. But that wasn't nearly as bad as the actual bite. That's bite.
Yeah.
We got to take a short break. I almost forgot. We're going to be back with the first grade news with our teacher of the year, Amy Swihart. Folks, you are listening to Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
Here's a hot topic about our wildlands and living with the natural role of fire.
Yard work is not just a matter of pride when you live in the wildland-urban interface. It's also about survival. Here are some FireWise tips that can help protect your home from wildland fire. Prune your trees 6 to 10 feet above the ground. Remove dead leaves and branches and dispose of them before fire season. Water your lawn regularly and store firewood away from the house. Be prepared for a fire emergency by having a plan for your family and pets. Learn more at our website, and then sit back and enjoy. You worked for it.
This hot topic was made possible by the Teresa and H. John Hines III Foundation. Learn more about the natural role of fire, how to protect your community, and get the latest fire information. Visit the National Interagency Fire Center website at NIFC.gov. That's NIFC.gov.
We're Rascal Flatts. There's a place where ordinary people do extraordinary things every day. That place is called the American Red Cross. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
Hi, everybody. This is Larry Batson. You are listening to Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. We want to remind everyone that this half of the program, and I'm sure they're so proud to be a sponsor, McGregor Mountain Lodge in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado, right on the boundaries of Rocky Mountain National Park. We call it God's country. Gosh, if you've never been to the state of Colorado and had an opportunity to see those Rockies in person, boy, you owe it to yourself to do it at least once in your life. It is spiritual. Right there on the boundaries of Rocky Mountain National Park, where McGregor Mountain Lodge has fantastic cabins and lodges and with hot tubs, you name it, and the wildlife comes to your back door, bighorn sheep, elk, mule deer. It's absolutely spectacular. Go to their website. Please go to it and check it out because it's been tough for Estes Park. I understand that they did get the major road into Estes Park open again, which is absolutely unbelievable after seeing photos of the condition of that road after the 22 inches of rainfall they had in one night that basically washed away a lot of the roadways in that part of the country. Go to their website, McGregorMountainLodge.com, and they make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio. It is time, everybody, hold on to your seats, for our Teacher of the Year, Amy Swihart.
Oh, I know. Did you know that Paul Stanley got, you know, the group to write that and sing that for me? But
really?
Well, that was a long time ago. I won't talk about that. But anyway, yes, so here I am.
Here you are.
Sitting at my desk once again working, yes.
Oh, she is so devoted to those children. Of course, the first graders up in Warsaw, Indiana, and, of course, our Teacher of the Year, Amy Swihart, and does such a wonderful job with those children.
Most days.
So what are them little phlegm chuckers up to right now?
Well, you know, 'tis the season to be jolly, so we're actually kind of into the Christmas spirit a lot around here. A couple weeks ago, I had asked parents if they wanted to sponsor a bag. I hang from the ceiling gift bags, and they have something in, each bag has something in it for each child. Just something really, really small, nothing, not a big deal.
Yeah.
And the parents of the kids in my class all got together and did these wonderful bags, and then they snuck them into the office so the kids didn't know about it. And then I came in after Thanksgiving, and I hung them from the ceiling, and each one has a number on the bottom of it. And every day, As our countdown to Christmas break, we take one down and we see what's inside, and the kids get whatever's inside.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Of course, they come into the classroom on Monday and they see all these bags hanging from the ceiling with a number on them.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, immediately, you know, they're all wound up and excited. And then I think to myself, wow, what did I just do? But you know, it's part of the joy of being a kid.
Yeah.
And they love it. Today we opened bag four. They look so forward to it. And I get that, you know, cracks me up because one of the things they look most forward to, oddly enough, is Mrs. Swihart standing on a chair trying to reach the bag that's hanging from the clip on the ceiling.
I bet there's a lot of entertainment value to that.
There is. When you wear a skirt, geez. Of course, you know, my skirt was long.
You know, you should be thankful, though. You say that the parents prepared those bags?
Yes, they did.
You better be thankful that one of those parents doesn't have, like, a meth lab or something.
Oh, no, none of that. I have a great batch of parents. None of that stuff. And besides, I've seen what's in all of the bags before I hang them up, so I know what's in there.
Okay.
No. But, yeah, so, you know, I stand on a chair, and, you know, they're all gathered on the carpet, the red carpet, and they're waiting. And, you know, I glance around, and some of them, their eyes are like, I'm not on the bag. I'm like, what? I was like, no, I don't care about it. There ain't nothing there for them.
Sounds like
see,
a little Billy Willard to me.
Yeah, that's probably what Billy was like when he was a kid. They get so excited that some of them are looking at the bag, what's in it, you know, and others of them are checking out my skirt, but pretty typical, I guess, of kids. But, so it's been a lot of fun. That's probably one of my most creative and genius ideas I've ever done because we don't do a gift exchange here in my classroom. Now, some classes do in the school, but we don't. And actually, we're getting better. You know what? It's not worth the trouble. And more, it needs to be more about giving back. Our kids are so spoiled anyway. You know what I mean? Even what you might think is the poorest of poor children here, where we live in Utah, are not poor compared to other places. So,
it's the only school I've ever seen that in gym class, every kid has their own hula hoop.
Yeah, well.
I like that. Virginia, is it, Billy?
Billy's like, what is a hula hoop? No. But
I remember hula hoops.
Yeah, I know. I used to be able to do them real well, but the old gray mare ain't what she used to be, remember?
Oh, can you sing that again, please?
The old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be, ain't what she used to be. Yeah, I'm stopping, because I know you're just laughing inside. You're barfing in your mouth right now, and you are swallowing, and that's really nasty. Don't spit either.
No, I'll tell you the truth. What I'm doing right now is enjoying a candy cane. As we enjoy the first grade news from Mrs. Swihart.
Yeah. Yeah, well, so anyway, I can't even so you know what we do? I did this last year with my class, and it was a huge hit. So I decided it would be a tradition. One of the missions of Warsaw Community Schools, which is where I work, is to enrich the lives of others and teach our kids the importance of giving back. So we have opted as a class and instead to go to the Animal Welfare League here in Kosciuszko County after school in an evening and take our donations there for all of the homeless animals, you know, that are looking for a home. So, and that's something that all kids love. All kids love cats and dogs. You know, they just all do. And the nice thing is the animal shelter needs things like newspapers and clean old towels and blankets and rugs. And almost every kid, whether you have very little money or a lot, can come up with a stack of newspapers.
Right.
So,
they bring it back to me.
Yeah. So they've been saving for a while because I put the word out to the parents a while back. And they've been saving for a while. So we and I work it out with the Animal Welfare League. And we will go as a class there. Their whole families will go, so it'll be a lot of people in this small place.
Mm-hmm.
But we just go ahead and donate. And this will be – I did it last year. Huge, huge success. And then after we are done there, we go across the highway to McDonald's and have dinner together, and the kids can play and hang out, and I hang out with the parents.
Cool.
Yeah, and last year the donations were overwhelming. I mean, we could not fit the amount of people that we had there because almost every single family from my classroom went.
Oh,
and they got out the cats and dogs, and they played with them and loved them. So I told the kids, it doesn't matter how much, you can have $0.
Mm.
It doesn't take anything to love on a pet for a while.
That's right.
So so I said, you need, even if you can't donate anything, you need to go and share some love with those animals. So
that's right.
So yeah, we did. It was really cool. We were front page news last year, so I have a little inside information. I think we were going to be front page news again this year. So.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah, which is something that the kids really, I love for the kids to get that. That's just really a neat thing. So we have that coming up. That's next week, actually.
Any of the parents or families adopt any animals while they were there?
You know, not as a result. I mean, directly right then, you know,
right.
From last year. But, I mean, I think it just spreads the word.
Sure.
And people do, and you know, I mean, it just, a lot of people don't even really pay attention or realize that they're there, and I don't know. It is sad when you go there. People say all the time, "I can't go; it's too sad." Well, you know what? By not going, that's sad.
Yes.
You know, so but they never do the kids complain because we don't do a gift exchange here. Never.
Great.
I mean, it's just a really great thing. So we're doing that next week. We'll do it right before. Actually, I'll be done with that shortly before our blog talk show next week. So I'll have that to share.
Oh, we can't wait. With Izzy.
I know. So, yeah, we're really busy here in first grade. And it's just, I don't know. They're kids. This is just the perfect season for kids. You know how kids are at Christmas. So.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, while I'm thinking about it, they should go to LarryTheAnimalGuy.com and order our brand new book, Alphabet Swamp. It'll be signed. What a great stocking stuffer. Isn't that right, Mrs. Swihart?
It is. And you know what? The kids in my class are always spoiled because, of course, we read that. We have your books. So the kids in my class are they know all about your books. They know all about, they hear about you. I mean, they, you know, obviously we talk to you on the phone and they sing to you some. So they think that you're like a celebrity, and they think their teacher's really cool because she gets to hang out and talk to a celebrity. So.
Oh, there you go. Well,
yeah.
Tell them they're right. I am a celebrity.
I do. But, you know, they think I'm a good singer, too, so that goes to show their judge.
tell them, Larry, say, I hung out with Johnny Carson, and they'll look at you.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, that reminds me, before we get back to Mrs. Swihart's news, if you watch the brand new, it's a paid television program, Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
Where they're trying to sell the six DVDs of the best moments of his show.
You're
you
one
will
of them.
See our animals.
Nice.
Yes. And
wow.
For the ones that, yeah, in fact, I've watched it three times. I've sat through that. And
you just look at yourself and you're like, dang, I used to look that good.
the animals. It just brings back tears because
yeah.
Doc or Celebi's Apes. See, we never actually, we went out to do the Carson show, but we would go out with Jim Fowler from Wild Kingdom because he'd bring animals on Johnny all the time, and people thought, well, look at all the animals he must have. Well, he didn't have any. He doesn't have any. He just knows idiots like me that would go through the trouble of flying or driving all the way to Los Angeles and deal with what you have to deal with there and bring animals to make him look like a hot shot. So,
yeah.
Went out there three or four times, and one of the best stories from the Tonight Show was we had a male baboon, a little male baboon, Mrs. Swihart.
Yes.
And from the moment he woke up till the time he went to bed, there's a word for it, and I can't think of it right now, he was ready. he was
ready.
Ready. There was not a moment, even while he would eat, he was ready.
Yeah,
and
you know what?
Not only ready, but he was
I think
proud.
That's
so
oh,
when we
dear.
Take him in front of the school children, we always put a little pair of shorts on him because he was ready. And we didn't want to have to explain that to the children.
No.
No. So it still happens. There was a producer for The Tonight Show, and her name was Shirley Woods, and she was not a very nice woman. She was, how would they say it in Virginia? She was hateful.
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 Hateful. Hateful.
So she came up to me and proceeded to tell me the order of animals that would be appearing with Mr. Carson and Mr. Fowler. And I told her when she said the baboon will be the third animal, I said, all I need is 30 seconds to put his pants on. Now, the public relations man from the Mutual of Omaha Insurance Company was standing right behind me, and he knew why we put those blue britches on that baby male baboon. And he's there watching the interaction I'm having with this producer who's hateful. And she says, these are supposed to be wild animals. So I'm thinking to myself at that moment, I could tell her why, or I could just keep my mouth shut. Now, a poll between Mrs. Swihart and Mr. Willer. What do you think I did?
You kept
your
mouth shut.
I don't think you kept your mouth shut.
I did.
Whatever.
And out comes the little male baboon. He sits on Johnny's desk, and he's enjoying a grape or something, and he's got his back to the camera and facing Johnny Carson. And the first words that come out of Carson's mouth was, that's a male, isn't it?
Oh, that's just sick.
And the whole segment, the little baboon kept his back to the camera. It was all left to the audience's imagination. I mean, Johnny tried to cover it up with a napkin.
Oh.
And Jim would explain to him how the Egyptians had trained baboons to wait on tables, and Carson goes, like that?
Oh, my gosh.
In fact, I have to tell you, we had a photograph of him that we'd taken, and he's, you know, he's just sitting there all special. And we put
special.
That photograph in the restroom of our facility there. So if we had any visitors, if they decided they needed our use of our facilities, as soon as they sat down and looked up, there was a picture of that male baboon looking at them. Special.
Oh. I want to see that picture.
I don't know if I have it anymore. But it's probably
in the archives.
I feel
like I'm missing out now. I feel like I've missed out on something.
And it's probably in our archives in one of the boxes in the closet that has all the pictures from 38 years of doing this, or however long. But
well, you should dig it out for me.
I'll try and find that, I'm sure.
In your spare time.
Yeah. Also remember the time he grabbed a bucket and climbed up on my shoulders in front of school children, dropped the bucket over my head, and started beating on the side of the bucket with both hands. Now, if you can imagine that moment and being a first grader.
Yeah. That'd be, oh, I'm going to quote you. That would be hilarious.
I'm sure there were some puddles on them bleachers after that program was done. One of them little phlegm checkers wet themselves, I'm sure.
Oh, they do that anyway. Don't you can imagine. Yeah.
So what else do we have in the first grade?
Well, geez, clearly we don't have near the excitement that you do.
Uh, I'll tell you, though, it was kind of disconcerting. If you ever sat on your shoulder, you could feel something poking you in the ear. And you thought to yourself, thank goodness he's got on them pants.
Oh, God. You know, who's supposed to, who has, this is PG. PG, PG, remember?
I haven't said it.
I'm usually the one that's like the naughty girl. It ain't me tonight. No.
It's Mother Nature's way. I have no control over what's happened.
Yes, I know, but sometimes we just keep that stuff quiet. You know?
I'm just saying it was disconcerting. As they would say in Virginia, disconcerting.
I don't say that.
Oh, Billy, you do too. You just don't notice it.
I just say, that ain't right.
Oh, that's hateful.
That ain't right.
That ain't wrong, but that ain't right. That's what we used to say. That ain't wrong,
yeah.
That ain't right. Whatever that's supposed
right.
to mean.
Hey, you know, in first grade, I got to tell you that we have not had, I personally, have not had any bathroom issues with these kids.
Oh, that's nice.
No puking issues and no booger issues.
Oh.
In the last week and a half, really.
Sure
I mean,
about
that's very
about
rare.
That England. We had a whole segment on booger issues 1 week, I think.
Yeah?
We got a couple letters on that one.
Seriously?
No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. No.
Oh, gee. Hey, you know what?
I did get
we
an email,
doing...
I will say that.
Yeah. What? Just go ahead
more
and say
booger
it.
News, they'd say.
Yeah. That's a gross subject. It is.
Well, it's
you know?
About like the little male bathroom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
His name is Zach, by the way, for anyone that's taking notes.
Oh, yeah, there's probably a bunch of people taking notes, yeah.
No, they do.
I know. So, you know what we're doing? We're talking, before Thanksgiving, I started doing the word families, you know, because to become better readers, you know, you study words. And so every day I have a different family that moves into the house. The word family house.
Oh.
And this gets to be pretty interesting, I'm telling you. Because I, like today, for example, today was the at family, and all of the words that move into this word family house must end with the word at. And, you know, we have words like pat and that and cat and bat. You know, the kids can name a whole bunch of them, and we make a list.
Math.
And I kind of have my... better ones coming up.
Flat.
We have the it family coming up.
Oh,
so as
God,
I think,
help
boys
you.
And girls, can you think of anything that fits into the it word family house? And,
oh,
you know, of course,
yeah.
Yes, Billy's just now have his light bulb is just coming on.
Well, Animal Guy says bit because I deal with that a lot.
Yeah, well, Animal Guy, there's first graders that'll think of that and more,
no.
So I'm telling you. I've had some, you know, there's one common one that comes to mind really quickly. It's like, you know.
Yeah, I know. That's
but
what I was shoveling
the
other day.
There's a few others that are a little more, not as commonly used, but they should not be used by first graders. Yeah, you know, and they say it, they'll say it out. I'll call on them all excited, you know, as their teacher. I'm like, what do you have? What's your idea, you know? And they say, you know, I would have to beep it out, so I won't say it.
Yeah.
And then I just look at him with a smile on my face, and I go, oh, that's not a first-grade word. We're not going to write that on our list. And on I go to the next thing.
No, we're going to write that on our chalkboard.
The other interesting one is the Ut family. The Ut family. There is a controversial word in the Ut family as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
We'll just see how this goes this time around.
But
yeah.
So far, been pretty good. I only had one little bit of a red flag on the Ag family.
Oh, my Lord.
Yes.
And you know what that little stinker kid said? I said, ooh, that's not a first grade word. We're not putting that on our list. He came up to me afterwards and he goes, well, just so you know, I know it's a word, and I put it on my list. I was like, what? He's the same kid. The same kid. And I love this kid terribly. I mean, I do. The same kid who tried to convince me that his dad was getting him a pet Komodo dragon.
Yeah. I'd love to have that conversation with that boy. Well, really.
I'll tell you what. The kid is wonderful. I mean, he's just, you know, when you get a kid with a little bit of personality like that, I mean,
sure.
There's never a dull
sure.
moment, and it's fun. So you
yeah.
have to appreciate them for all their little unique quirks. But when I need to tell his dad this, because I see his dad all the time. I need to say, by the way, when your kid brings home the word family book, just know that we did not put that word on our list. But your kid insisted on having that word and on the ag list. So
can you imagine having in the first grade a little Billy Willard and a little animal guy?
Yeah.
No, I was good. I was good in school.
I would have no problems because you know what? It had just taken one come to Jesus and you would have been taken care of.
Oh, my Lord. I have a feeling you were right. I can't.
I'll tell you, I had somebody the other day was picking on somebody on the bus, and I wasn't having any of that. And I pulled him out to the hall before school, and I told the parents, I said, I will have to come to Jesus with that kid, and this will stop. And
I'm so sorry.
What? So anyway, but yes, it did. I think that I probably solved that problem. The kid walked away from me, and he goes, after I had to come to Jesus with him, you know what he said? What did
he say?
Miss Swihart, my neck really hurts. And I said, you know what? My neck would hurt, too, if I did what you did. Now go back to class.
Well, I'm looking out the window right now, and I'm watching snowfall, thinking tomorrow morning at some time we're going to head south to beautiful Decatur, Alabama at the
nice.
Wheeler National Wildlife Refuge and join the program and all of our fun, Teresa Adams. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm good.
Did you
hey,
hear that
girls
accent?
Rule. Girls rule.
That's right.
Girls rule, boys drool, always.
There you go.
Did you hear that accent, Billy Willard?
I hear it. It sounds
oh
a lot
my.
Like mine.
Yeah, about
yep.
like yours.
Like mine.
That's right.
I love it. I do love it. People say we don't have one in Indiana, but I'm sure we probably do. But I just like everybody else's accent way better.
Well, it is different. That's true.
Oh, well, we love it. So is everybody anticipating, this will be the 75th anniversary of the Wheeler National Wildlife Refuge.
That's right, 75 years, and we're just, well, you know, it's supposed to rain, so.
Yeah.
Oh.
Some of the events have been canceled, outside events, but we're still looking for a great, you know, a great day, and we'll be happy to have you and all your animals with us.
Oh,
to carry the day.
Well, we're excited. We only have one small problem. We're having 8 inches of snow falling right now.
Well, that could be a problem.
Well, my theory is get behind a snowplow and follow them all the way down 65 till I get through the state of Kentucky.
Don't these people know you are a celebrity? I mean, they will have that highway, that road cleared for you.
Well,
let me just
true.
Call up my people. You know?
You know, I don't like that.
I just need to call up my people, and I need to have this taken care of.
You know, I do have some influences, but my theory is just get behind one of those snowplows and just follow down the highway.
Yeah.
And then talk to the baboon how well I'm driving, because Cheryl won't be looking.
Well, hopefully you won't have to drive through the snow too far until it turns into rain. And
yeah.
But it's just a little rain.
Rain, I do not care about. I can.
Oh, I don't like rain either.
That doesn't bother me to drive in the rain, but the snow doesn't either. I can still remember leaving Rochester, New York, or no, excuse me, Utica, New York, and growing across the New York Thruway. We had, oh, this was the time I had a van load of snakes, and I had cobras and rattlesnakes and all sorts of things that would kill you before you knew what would happen. And I really didn't have the best containers. I'd take styrofoam boxes and just duct tape them shut. And I'm going there. And it snowed, Teresa and Mrs. Swihart, about 9 inches in an hour, I think is what they said.
Oh.
And all of a sudden, I'm driving down the highway dealing with a snowstorm, and I feel a snake crawling across my lap.
Oh.
And I'm thinking, and I had cobras in my truck with me, and I reached down to touch it, and the skin felt like this Asian cobra I had that was about 5 feet long. That's what it felt like when I first touched it.
Okay, wait, you were touching the snake, right? The cobra in your lap, right? Yeah? All
right. And so I just kind of reached over and turned on the inside light, and luckily it was a simple rat snake. But I'll tell you what, for about 30 seconds, I had to come to Jesus meeting.
if it would have gotten you, ow. Because
ow.
Then the swelling, it would turn black and you would swell.
Oh, no. This doesn't go after, doesn't attack your blood cells. This attacks your nervous system.
Oh.
So that's a whole different
thing. Oh, that's better. Yes.
Your heart stops working. Your lungs stop working.
Yeah.
So you're not bringing that one with you.
No, we're not bringing it. did you hear that? You're not bringing that with you. No, we're not.
Do you still have those?
I don't. That was couple 3 years ago, like 20 years ago that happened.
Couple 20.
Well, you know, when you get my age, you just kind of.
I know.
We are excited. I'm sorry.
Oh no, I was thinking, what did you say? This is the 75th anniversary, right? Yes. Well, then that's about it. 75th anniversary, that's about the time you came about, isn't it, Larry?
You know. Billy Willard has a mute button. Our studio
but Billy
producer.
Loves me. He just does not like my singing. He doesn't like my Lady Gaga in person. Yeah, he doesn't like that. But Billy likes me.
All right, we have a non-biased person on the program right now, Teresa Adams from the Wheeler National Wildlife Refuge in Decatur, Alabama. Mrs. Swihart, give her a little bit of what you sang to Billy and I.
Okay, I will. You know what? I'll humor you. Do you want to hear one of my classroom songs?
Oh, we do.
Sure. Yeah. You do. Okay, well, of course, we study all of the consonants and vowels, and we study the short vowels and the long vowels pretty extensively because, of course, that makes them be better readers. So here is my, this is a video I have on Facebook, so Billy, you've probably seen it, and I already know you think it stinks, so just put your earmuffs on now, Billy. But anyway, it's a short
Billy
song.
Put it. How did Billy, when he gave his critique of you this song, what were his words? What did you say?
I don't even remember.
What were the words?
I gave it my best shot. That's what I said. I know. I've been scarred for life now. Thank you,
Billy.
You
gave it your best shot.
I gave it my best shot. Well, I'm going to give this my best shot, too. Are you ready?
Okay. Yeah,
this is
ready.
Like, I just don't do this for anybody older than the age of 7 normally. So you're lucky. Anyway, here it goes. Liz is making mittens for her kitten Pip. Every day she knits another little bit. Pip thinks kitty mitts are silly, but he'll wear them if he's chilly in the winter. They will keep him nice and warm. What do you think? That's our short eye song.
I think that's brilliant.
That's brilliant.
See?
That's absolutely brilliant.
Do you know that my own son is my youngest son is in fifth grade, and he told me a riddle the other day. He goes, Mom, you ought to know this riddle because you teach first grade, and this is, you know, you should know this. And it was this really long, extensive riddle to remember the vowels. And I just looked at him and I said, I didn't get it. I mean, it was hard to remember the riddle, let alone, you know, anything else. I just looked at him and I said, there was a teacher who had some letters and vowels. Are their name? Oh, A-E-I-O-U, 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 and sometimes Y. He looked at me and he goes, you're right. Yours is the easier way.
You know, that'll be in my head all night tonight.
Do you know, though, that kids remember and learn so well by song,
yeah.
And poems. We memorize a lot of poems. They're all learning poems. But my kids, I tell you, just like we were telling evens and odds, I asked, today was the 77th day of school, and I asked the little boy, I said, is 77 even or odd? And he said, and we speak like scholars, so he said, Mrs. Swihart, 77 is an odd number. And I said, how do you know? And he said, because there's a 7 in the ones place, and 1, 3, 5, 7, 9 being odd is just fine. So, you see? There's going to be this thing called the I-step test a few years down the road, and my kids are going to have it made. Because of my jingles that Billy Willard says, well, you give it your best shot.
Well.
Anyway, Teresa, I am with you. Let's ignore these men.
Well,
I tell you what, I wish you all could come with him.
I do too.
And visit Wheeler because it's a very special place. We winter a lot of waterfowl, and we do a waterfowl survey every 2 weeks. And we had one on Tuesday, and we had close to 12,000 sandhill cranes.
Oh, my Lord.
Wow.
And 13 whooping cranes.
Oh, my.
Yeah, that's a sight.
Yes.
And over 30,000 ducks and
oh, my goodness.
1,000 geese.
That's a lot of poop.
You
that
should
is.
See you should see the plants there. Everything grows. Now we understand why.
Yeah.
But it's quite a sight this time of year. We love it. It's real special, and especially now that we've got the whooping cranes.
Oh, that's
yeah.
fantastic. That is
only
fantastic.
13. 13, you yeah. said?
13, and you know they're probably one of the rarest birds in North America.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Their numbers are so small. So
and so hopefully
we're just
every
very,
year you'll see an increase.
Yeah, and that's happening, and so we're just excited to have them spend the winter with us. And
yeah,
I bet that brings in a lot of bird people. I mean, bird photographers and so forth.
Yeah, it really does. We get a big crowd. We have such a wonderful facility to view them. They you know the observation building, which is a great building to just look out over the field, and you have all these thousands of sandhill cranes and. And then the whooping cranes are out there, and we'll have a bald eagle fly through. So it's a
wow,
it's a great
nice.
Place to hang out.
Yeah.
It's spectacular. We had such a great time when we were there last year, or 5 years ago. We were there for the 70th anniversary.
That's right, yeah.
And we had such a great time. And of course, everybody down south, they're just so nice.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yes.
When you talk about Southern hospitality, man alive, it's so true with Alabama. Though I won't mention the football game last week. I've already decided about that.
We'll survive, I'm sure.
Is there still some?
Yeah. There's more to life than football, I hate to say, but, you know.
That's true.
I mean, we don't even need to talk about that. That's
but
not important.
But there's a poor kicker that goes to Alabama that's life is not very good right now, I understand. So
I hope they don't treat him too bad, but he's getting a lot of support too, so
well good for him. gosh, like it's just a game. What the heck?
Yes, right.
Yes, that's the thing. It's just a game. There's other things, and you know, that are more important. So.
And you know, along with us at the Wheeler Wildlife Refuge, we'll be there with Vol folks. You may remember him, Billy Willard, Theodore Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, Teddy.
Yeah, Joe Wiegand, and he does a great. He just he's fantastic. It's it's what I think Teddy Roosevelt must sound like, but he does a great job. And Teddy Roosevelt's one of my heroes, so I'm just I love having Joe around. And he's going to be in character all day, so that already
Oh, he
great.
Is.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that'll be special. I can't wait for that.
That'll be great.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, now, you know we have our new baboon.
Yeah, you told me.
Yeah. God bless her soul, Dolly passed away about it's almost 5 years ago. And we almost gave it up. We decided it was so hard on the wife and I that we said, we don't know if we want to do this anymore. This is too tough.
Yeah.
But those darn school children started writing us letters saying, well, we love the baboon, but we love the other animals too. And then we'd show up to do programs, and they'd bring us flowers and cards. And man, it made it difficult to do a program after that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So we have this new baboon. And I don't know if Alabama is ready for her yet. Literally, I have to say, and for the folks that get over to Decatur for this event Saturday, you'll probably see me, we're doing three programs, get the tar beaten out of me for three shows. Because she's special, I'll tell you right now.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. And what else will you be bringing with you?
Well, we're going to bring our African serval cat, we've decided. We're going to bring our ringtail lemur and, of course, a big snake.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to bring an animal that I don't know if I didn't ask if they're indigenous to the refuge or not. Do you have alligators in the refuge?
We do.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe
but
I should have
just
caught one down instead of bringing mine.
I've been reading. I'm looking at it right now because you know what? You guys have a website, and
mm-hmm.
I'm looking at it right now, and I just read that about alligators. So
that's
cool.
Well, I was pretty certain, but you know what Cheryl said? She says it would amaze you the amount of people probably even that live down there have never really seen in person an alligator.
Oh, listen, it's every spring we just get numerous calls, and we usually we'll have to do a news release almost on alligators because it's incredible. People don't believe, they can't believe that we have alligators, and then,
uh-huh.
of course they want to know where can they go see an alligator. So it gets people excited. So
they can see one Saturday.
Right.
Yeah.
I put one to sleep once, didn't I?
Well, you did. You see, that was one of the fact that Silas, the alligator we're going to be bringing down to Alabama, he's right now in the bathtub. And he's been doing school programs with us. But we did some book programs. I took a little alligator. And you know, Teresa, when you roll them over on on their back and you rub their belly, they go to sleep, it seems. Have you ever seen mm-hmm. that happen?
Uh-huh, I have, yeah.
Yeah, well, Mrs. Swihart was the one that was rubbing the belly of the alligator. And
I was a little chicken to touch it, but I did not want the kids to know that. So I put on my big girl I'm going to talk like Billy. I put on my big girl panties, and I just did it. I was brave.
Good for you.
I know. I told the kids, I said, when we got back to classroom, I said, I've done that many times before.
Well, you know, I have a lot of respect for alligators. You know, people don't realize that alligators live in Alabama. Well, people don't realize I have 15 alligators here at our compound.
Oh, wow.
Yes, all rescued from rivers and lakes, and apartments and homes here in Indiana. Because they seem they get this silly idea that the alligator might make a good pet.
Right. And
I have to explain to them, no, they do not. So what they'll do is they'll get these alligators and they start getting some size on them, and they're worried about their poodle or their chihuahua or baby brother or baby sister. And when they call the zoo doesn't want them. And of course, the alligators aren't indigenous to Indiana, but they let them go.
Right.
Yeah.
So we went to many a river and lake and had to catch an alligator that someone set free. And so now we have 50.
Yeah.
So.
And that's probably how alligators really got established as far north and in North Alabama is from back in the 50s and 60s when you go to Florida on vacation and you bring home a baby alligator, and like you said, it does get bigger, and then they turn them loose, and probably that's how they started in North Alabama.
Really?
They were able to, most of them didn't survive the winters, and then apparently some of them did, and so now we've got a small population.
Well, that's fantastic.
And the winters aren't as bad now.
Oh, winters everywhere, I think, are not near what they used to be.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking as I'm looking out my window right now.
Oh, but that's such a free thing. Seriously, though, we don't have the winters like we used to.
You're right there. Huh? See, the snow's falling out.
Oh, well, except for right by you.
I'll tell you what, they were making the announcements on the news, and I looked out the door and said, well, we haven't gotten any snow yet.
Famous last word.
Yeah, it was. And then I let one of the wolves out and then the dog out, and they come back snow-covered and icy, so I thought, oh, it's snowing. So, but it's absolutely spectacular. And if I'm not mistaken, you had the wild bamboo that grew down there?
Yeah, it's, of course, we don't want it, but it's there. We do have some.
You know.
Oh, well, now you just need some panda bears.
Right?
You go.
If you just get panda bears, they'll eat up that wild bamboo, and you won't have a problem anymore.
That would be great. We do get that question. The kids and groups will come through, and that'll be one of the first things. Where's the panda bear?
Well, you know what's going to happen. Somebody's going to go to China on vacation and bring back one.
They're
going to
bring one home. Never say never.
And then folks in Alabama are going to say, I never realized we had them either. But I wonder if that would grow in Indiana.
Oh, why don't you try it?
I would love to. I think it's beautiful.
I'll tell you what, I do have bamboo. I do have bamboo growing in my bathroom, in my corner window, because a student at the end of last school year gave me a lucky bamboo plant.
Uh-huh.
And on the bus ride to school in the morning, she broke it in half. And when she came into class, she asked for some tape, and I didn't know what she was doing with it. She was kind of being sneaky, but she taped it back together. And then she gave it to me, and said, I'm going to miss you. You're a great teacher. Blah, I got this for you. And she gives me this lucky bamboo plant. And I took it home, like all good teachers would. And I thought, well, I put it in the bathroom window where, could be happy there, hopefully. And the thing? It fixed itself. Like, it was broken in half completely. And where she taped it, it is now grown back together. And the thing is probably twice as big.
Boy, that didn't sound like something from Virginia. It fixed itself.
They say it righted itself.
We have We have a lot of bamboo here in Virginia.
Oh, that's right, with the Washington, D.C. Zoo.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Well, this thing that's called Lucky Bamboo, it is doggone lucky. It's still going strong in my bathroom next to my flat screen TV.
It's hard to kill that stuff though when you want it to go away.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Is it against the law if I would get a start from the refuge and bring it home and try it?
Yeah.
It's against the law.
We wouldn't want you to do that.
Well,
we got plenty here in Virginia who won't stop by, Larry.
I've got 20
Just
acres.
Just mail him some, Billy. Mail him some for Christmas. Shoot, my lucky bamboo came from Walmart.
Well,
it's got a Walmart tag on it.
I've got 20 acres here. I mean, it could grow for a long time before it start making my neighbors mad. No, I wouldn't want to do anything that would be against the law.
What are they going to do, come knocking on your door?
They probably would.
Just let the wolf answer. And they'll say, this is a big bad wolf. I'm going to huff and I'm going to puff and I'm going to blow your house down. No,
yeah, pretty much.
That's another story.
Yeah.
So are you bringing the wolf, Larry? Are you
no,
wolf?
No, she's staying here with her boyfriend.
Oh.
And she's kind of, But we are, tell everyone, give them the times, the dates, and of course, this Saturday.
Right. It's this Saturday, and we start at 9 o'clock with the Alabama Public Television 1996 film about Wheeler Wildlife Refuge called Historic Haven,
mm-hmm.
which was a really good film. So we haven't shown it in a while because it is 1996 version. But then at 10, you will do your program.
Good.
And 11:15, Teddy Roosevelt will do his program. And at 12 o'clock, we're going to cut the birthday cake.
Oh, my.
Oh, cake. I love cake.
We're going to have the birthday cake cutting. And then at 1 o'clock, I think, you're on again.
Oh, my.
And
oh.
Then at 2:15, Teddy comes back. And then I think you kind of wrap things up at 3:30.
Oh, my Lord.
How are you going to get your nap in there, old guy?
Well...
How are you going to do that? Restroom break and your nap.
Well, the restroom break, that's a necessity at my age. I mean, and so, but it's a spectacular place. I mean, I was looking at the pictures the other day when we were down there, and we would have been there in October, but something about the government being shut down, we weren't.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We don't want to talk about that.
No. Don't even mention government.
Yeah. But it's just spectacular. And anyone that's in their travels close to Decatur, Alabama, I mean, they need to stop and see what their tax dollars are paying for. I mean, it's absolutely spectacular. And we appreciate so much. And like I say, them folks down south are so friendly. They're so nice.
I have a question. Teresa, do you guys have hunting there at the refuge? Or, I mean, because I know obviously there's places that do for animal control.
Yeah. Yes, we do. We don't have waterfowl hunting because we're primarily, that was our mission when we were established as a wintering waterfowl refuge. We do have a deer hunt, but it's with archery or flintlock only.
Oh.
So no gun hunts for deer. And then we have a small game hunt, for raccoon or squirrel. But it's and there's a large population of deer on the refuge. We're pretty much considered an urban refuge now, because we're kind of located between Decatur and Huntsville along the Tennessee River, and 35,000 acres, but everything is growing up right up to our boundary. So, it's wonderful to have that public land, because if the refuge wasn't there, it would just be, I guess, continuous development along the river.
Yep, those kinds of things are needed because that's the only guaranteed spot that is being held for that kind of thing.
Because right.
Otherwise, everything's getting sucked up by commercialism. And Yeah, and our animals don't have the places to go. I've talked about that with first graders. I said, you know what? They're taking away the woods and they're taking away these animal homes, and where are they all going to go? You know?
Right. Yeah.
And of course, they're all still mating, so they're just keep on reproducing, and they're running out of places
right.
to live. So.
Well.
Anyway, I saw a thing about the deer, and it made me think of. So, do you keep records of like when they're hunted, do you keep records of the kill? Like, what's the largest point buck you've had this year?
Yeah, well, they have to have a permit. The hunter picks up a permit, and then
mm-hmm.
they're required, or we ask them to do it, to call in if they kill a deer, and to let us know what they did. And we've had some, actually, and it's pretty amazing, I think, that there's been a couple of times where the state record for archery has come off the refuge. You know, the deer was big enough to get a state record for archery. So there's some big ones on the refuge. And one thing unique about it, if you're going to hunt and you're going to use archery, we don't open the gates and let you drive back into these areas. You have to walk or ride a bicycle.
Oh, good.
So,
oh,
yeah.
You know, the hunter has to really want to
yeah.
to go after
it's
that deer.
It's more of a challenge, though.
Yeah.
In other words.
If they get a big deer, we don't open the gate for them to drive back to pick it up. They have to get it out. Either drag it or, you know, they hitch a little wagon to their bicycle and pull it out.
Wow.
Well, in other words, there's no big fat guy hunters that go to Weaver Wildlife Refuge. <stuff. laughs>
Well, and you know what? It's the people who are up for a challenge.
That's right.
You know,
well,
that's
the way. Well, we're looking forward to it. Teresa, thanks for joining us tonight.
Okay. I enjoyed it.
Well, we're glad. We're glad because we'll do this again, even if we're not coming to Alabama. Because there's lots to talk about when you talk about the Wheeler National Wildlife Refuge. So we really appreciate your time. Once again, a fine program, Mrs. Swihart.
Oh, you know what? Just like always, it's really cool. But I didn't even really know about Wheeler National Wildlife Refuge, and now I do. So now I'm snooping on their website. So.
Well, that'd be great. I'm sure that the children of the first grade in Warsaw, Indiana, would like to learn more about it as well.
Oh, yeah. I pull this stuff up, you know, and show the kids. I mean, they're very – when it comes to animals and wildlife,
yeah.
the kids are very interested.
They are.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, a great job done by Mr. Billy Willard, our studio producer in Virginia. Next week, it's Christmas with Izzy. So it's going to be an Izzy Christmas. Izzy Chade, our vocalist, has got a brand new Christmas album out. We'll be talking to him about that in the hour after Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
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 Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.